Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can go to the website www.guardiantalkradio.com and you can stream us live, or you can download the TuneIn app and put it on your telephone. Listen to us when you're walking around. So tonight we are actually taping not from the Guardian studio in Oaksfield. I'm presently in Jamaica, and where I've been traveling as a guest of the National Art Gallery of Jamaica, and we're in a studio in Kingston. I'm not sure if we're downtown Kingston or uptown Kingston, because I haven't quite figured it out yet. And I have with me two colleagues. I have Verla Poupai, who's the director of the National Art Gallery of Jamaica. Good evening, Verla.
Good evening, Amanda.
Thank you for having me here. And I have an artist from Trinidad who many of us in the community know because he's written a lot, has started an artist in residency program and many other things, and that is Chris Cozier. So Chris, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
And welcome
to
Blank Canvas. Yeah, good to be here. So we're all here because not dissimilarly to the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, which currently has the national exhibition, the eighth national exhibition, the Jamaica Gallery, also the National Art Gallery, has a biannual show, which both Chris and myself were invited to be part of. So, Verla, why don't you please just tell our audience a little bit about the National Art Gallery of Jamaica, because it has a slightly different history to us. You know, we're only, what, we opened in 2003, so we're 13 years old. You have a different history, and a little bit about the history of your national exhibition, which now has turned into a biennial, and sort of what that means for you and your institution and the country.
Right. Well, the National Gallery of Jamaica is like the National Gallery in the Bahamas, the National Art Museum of Jamaica. It was established in 1974, initially located at Devon House, which is a 19th century mansion just above New Kingston.
Yeah, kind of quite similar to the NAGB in a way, right, sort of historic home that was repurposed.
Right, and we moved from there to the present location in 1982. The present location was really a building that was meant to be a department store and that had never been used for that. And it was meant to be our temporary home, but we ended up staying there permanently. And we know also have a branch in Montego Bay since 2014, and we're looking at sort of spreading our wings in other ways. The biennial, the Jamaica biennial, as we call it now, has a long history in terms of national exhibitions that were organized in Jamaica from the late 1930s onward, and starting as an exhibition that was meant to be very inclusive and development and encouragement oriented. I mean, the exhibition has gradually morphed into what it is today. Today it has a sort of complex layout. I mean, it used to be open only to Jamaican artists and artists living in Jamaica. So in recent years, we've opened that up to the Jamaican diaspora and also to a select number of Caribbean artists. And that's a process that we intend to continue as we go along. So increasingly, we're seeing the exhibition less in strictly national terms and more mm-hmm. in regional terms and in terms of creating the sort of networks that all of us here are part of.
Yeah, fantastic. So, and it's now in at least two locations in Kingston. Two locations in Kingston and one in Montego Bay.
Right.
And you plan to. So, how is that challenging for your audience that they have to go to different places too? Because we've just done that for the first time this year as well. We've incorporated Hillside House, which is Antonius Roberts' studio, and it's quite difficult sometimes with the artists to sort of the idea that. You know, some are in one place and some in the other place, and they're sort of how do you deal with that? Is that something that you find has been positive for the development of the biennial, or?
Well, it's still a work in progress for us too, because we did it for the first time for the last biennial in 2014. We used Devon House, our original home, our main location, of course, in downtown Kingston, and then also Montego Bay, and we also had a street project, a street-based project with Blue Curry from the Bahamas, actually.
Yeah, which was wonderful.
Which was really wonderful. Yeah. And this time we're using the same locations again and possibly a few others in Kingston. Things like that do come with logistical challenges because also in terms of the installation of the exhibition. Mm-hmm, I mean, you have to be in multiple locations at one.
In terms of access as well, I would
imagine.
In terms
of access, we're learning as we go along because each of those locations has its own guidelines in terms of opening hours, in terms of how they engage with the public, who they let, how they let people in, the expense involved, because some of them do come with admission charges. So we learned a lot from the first experience in 2014, because people, what we're basically trying to do is to create an itinerary, you know, that people can go on to. But that is not without its challenges, you know, because the opening hours for one location will be different from the other. So to streamline that is not that easy. But we do think that people like this idea of an itinerary and being able to discover things in different locations. Mm-hmm. What we're also trying to avoid is sort of to have a hierarchy of locations.
I think that's sort of the challenge, isn't it? Right. If the artist feeling like, oh, I'm more important because I'm in this location, or I'm less important. But I would imagine also it brings in different types of audience. Have you found that because last year was one of the first years you had then the secondary spaces. Do you find that it reached more people and you had a different demographic of people being able to access the work?
Right. We did not get actually the figures for all of it. So we're sort of talking off the top of our heads when it comes to that. And like, for instance, the street side project, there is no way that we can attach demographics to that.
Right.
You know, because that was located in some of the most heavily trafficked areas of downtown Kingston. But we can't attach figures. Devon House is one of the most popular recreational and tourist locations in Kingston. Mm-hmm. And it attracts a broad cross-section of local audiences, but not everybody goes into the house, you know, because there is an admission fee, but there is a park around.
So they come to the grounds, and there's a good ice cream shop.
So we also had outdoor projects. So that would have created a higher level of engagement than the projects inside the house would necessarily have attracted.
And possibly tourists. Did you see a bump in tourists coming because the your National Art Gallery is located in a fairly challenging space, a little bit like us, which is downtown, and there's a level of crime associated with the district. And I would imagine, like you said, tourists coming in will go to Devon House because that's a really that's a kind of number one.
That's
spot.
A known and safe location.
Yeah, exactly, known and safe location. Did you see a bump with people looking at the work there and saying, "Oh, maybe I'll go check out the National Art Gallery"?
Right. Yes, I think we did. Again, that's hard to measure, you know, because you don't necessarily know whether the person who went there will be the one who comes here. But we have in recent years actually seen an increase in tourist visits at the National Gallery in downtown Kingston too. And Jamaica is a little bit different from the Bahamas in that sense that Kingston stopped being a major tourist destination in the 1960s.
Right.
And that the tourist activities really moved to the north coast of the island, to Montego Bay and so on. So that's a completely different dynamic there. But we do see tourists coming back to Kingston with a different kind of tourism, urban tourism. Mm-hmm. You know, and Kingston, because of its history with music and so on, has a different kind of mystique. And I think that is attracting a different kind of tourist. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing more and
more
of
that. And a more adventurous kind of tourist.
Right. Younger people generally, so we see less of the kind of cruise ship type of tourism, but more of the individual visitors who really
which probably
want
are better for culture because I find
right absolutely
that
that's what they're coming for, you know, and not necessarily for the visual arts as their first choice, but if it can be part of the
I mean that's our challenge, right? Is that people come to lie on the beach and disengage, and so it's very difficult to get people to come into a building and engage. But and the move to Montego Bay, now how long have you been there? Because that was quite a kind of exciting thing to happen, that you sort of branched out, you had a second institution in a way.
Yeah. So it's 2+ years now. We opened in July 2014. We're funded by the Tourism Enhancement Fund. So that's funded by room tax in Jamaica. So they're
what a great idea. I'm going to take that home to the Bahamas.
Right. It is a great idea. Yeah. You know, but basically our target audiences, we're sort of aiming 50-50 for local audiences and tourists. Right now, we've now been able to put the Montego Bay Cultural Center, of which we are a part, on the cruise ship itinerary. So we've seen a major spike in visitorship as a result. But we definitely don't want to lose the local audiences either. Because of, it's 3 hours driving between Kingston and Montego Bay, even with the new highway. Montego Bay, Western Jamaica, has often felt left out of all the cultural institutions are located in Kingston. So in a sense, it has been very important also to take the National Gallery to Western Jamaica and to also make it very clear over there that we don't see them as the provinces, that we are willing to present challenging projects such as the one that we will present for the biennial. We've shown Renee Cox over there for the previous biennial and so on. So we're really trying to sort of mix it up and address the
broad
spectrum.
Were saying yesterday that in fact you found the response by your audience in Montego Bay to be actually almost more sophisticated than the response of audience in Kingston. Or sometimes you were surprised by the level of engagement.
The cosmopolitanism. I think there is a level of tolerance for difference and for for subject matter that is challenging, which I had not anticipated. Mm-hmm. You know, so that has been a very pleasant surprise for us, and I think it goes with the history of Montego Bay as a tourist resort, which has sort of forced it to accommodate different.
And I've been watching very closely because we are, of course, you know, we're an archipelago, so it's you know, really we have amazing challenges because at least, you know, it's difficult for you to get to Montego Bay, but now you can just drive at least in a car. But we are planning to open up our first annex in Freeport, Grand Bahama, which is, of course, our second most populated city. And again, has that sense of feeling left out and not being given the same sort of cultural options that we have in the capital city. And so it's been very interesting for me to watch how you've been doing that and the kind of feedback. So hopefully in a year's time I'll be able to tell you about what's happening in Freeport.
Right, and for us too, it's still very new. I mean, it's just 2 years, so I think it's still growing. So over the next few years also we'll have a fuller picture of what National Gallery West, as it is called, really means and how it functions vis-a-vis what we do in Kingston.
Mm-hmm. So like I said at the very beginning of the show, you invited myself and Chris Cozier, who will be talking in the next segment. He's just, you know, listening right now. But I'll get to you, Chris, to be selectors on your national exhibition. So when did you start doing that? And what was the response to bringing in, you know, outside professionals?
Right.
And, you know, what's the rationale for that?
Right. But the biennial and its precursors always had a juried component. Mm-hmm. You know, and in the past, we just used a local panel of judges, and usually quite a large panel of 5, 7, and I think on one occasion, even 9 people,
you know,
for the previous biennial, you know, and Jamaica is a small society also, and, you know, sometimes it's very necessary to bring in a fresh perspective because everybody knows everybody, you know, and that was really the main rationale for the 2014 biennial for starting to use international judges. We wanted people who would have a fresh international perspective, but who were sufficiently knowledgeable about the Caribbean terrain to be able to make informed decisions, you know, so that is really the balance we've been trying to strike. So for the previous biennial, we had Diana Nawi, who was associate curator at Perez Art Museum in Miami, and Sarah Herman, who is a curator from the Dominican Republic. So it was a very good experience for us because they really looked at the work on its own merit, you know, rather than in terms of all the associations and the histories that local judges would have. So it's something that we wanted to continue. This year we've approached it slightly different. We have the two of you, but we also had two local judges, Suzanne Frederick.
Which I did find beneficial.
Right. There was a good exchange, I thought, a good dynamic between the four of you, and I think it worked very well. And I'm very happy with the outcome, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm happy to be here. So after that, we're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk to Chris a little bit about his practice and what he does. And then we'll just, at the end, talk about our experience and sort of what we're all bringing to the table and what we hope to come out with. So you are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this short break.